Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, grateful for this opportunity to hear from heaven, dear Lord God. Thanking you, dear Lord God, for your word. According to Isaiah 55, it will not return unto you void. It shall accomplish that which you please. It will prosper where you're sending it. And Father, again, I thank you for giving me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to them that are weary, Father, and that my teaching and preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and manifestation of the Spirit and of power. And Father, we pray not only for our church, New Day. We lift up Connection Church today, Father God. We lift up New Hope, Heavenly Father. Corona Church of the Open Door, Father God. We pray for Corona AME, dear Father God. We pray for North Point. We pray for our Corona friends right next door to us, dear Lord God. We pray for the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, Heavenly Father, the Catholic Church. Father, pour your spirit out today upon Corona, Father God. Bless us. Bless us, dear Lord God. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with it say, amen. Amen. Please repeat after me. These are our four core values here at New Day. Say, I will worship. I will connect. I will be equipped. And I will serve. I have a question for you. Have you ever wondered what gets God's attention? What gets God's attention? What gets God's attention? Scripture says this. Second Corinthians 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro upon the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect or complete towards him. He's looking. He's looking. He's looking. And he's looking at our hearts. Now, man, the Bible tells us this, looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. There's some very beautiful people in the world, lovely, elegant, gorgeous. They go to the Emmy Awards and Academy Awards, and they put on their gowns, and they go to red carpet, and I ain't mad at them. Good. You start in your movie, hallelujah. You worked your craft, you're getting paid, glory to God. Good for you. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's where a lot of us stop. And God looks at the heart. Also, too, another thing that gets God's attention is true worshipers. It says in John 4:23 that the Father is looking for those who are true worshipers. He's looking. He's looking. And if you can imagine a Sunday morning when we come in here, I envision him looking down. Who's worshiping me? Who's worshiping me? Who's just barely getting in? And I know sometimes, again, this is a year of understanding. Some people don't understand. Someone new to faith had gone across to South Hills Church right here in Corona. And the statement was made was, after worship, and they didn't know any better, but they said, oh, that was some good warm-up music. They didn't know. But for a lot of us, it's still warm-up music. Or it's like, oh, I don't like that song, or that's not the, you know, or you know, it's just, we were fine. But he's looking for a true worshiper. That's what he's looking for. That's what gets his attention. Another thing that gets God's attention is faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And when I have an adverse situation, I've learned over the years to look at this as an opportunity to exercise my faith, therefore be pleasing to God. This makes sense. Those are things that he's looking for. This is what gets his attention. This year, we're looking at the why behind the what. The why behind the what. We know what we do, but often we don't know why we do it. We don't know why we do it. So today, our message title is, what gets God's attention? Scriptural text is Mark 12:41-44. And let's read that together. It's on your handout. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. This is an amazing passage for me. And we're going to talk about what gets God's attention. And right now we're going to talk about money and how money gets God's attention. Now I want everybody to relax. I'm not going to receive a special offering. I just want you to understand why we receive offerings. And part of this, too, is I already had this plan to preach. You know, I write my sermons out. I got everything lined out till June or July right now, okay? But a couple of weeks ago, And I don't know how, where I saw it online, but there's a church and somewhere back east, and it's a very it's a large movement, if you would, maybe 10,000 people and within this denomination, and I don't even recall what it is right now. But as the pastor, the bishop, was coming down the aisle, everybody was handing him money, and it was a secret camera that recorded it. And so the news people are like, that's wrong, and that's this and that, and then a lot of the people, and it just as I'm watching this, I'm recognizing they probably just don't understand. And culturally, you just begin to do what, you know, you go to a church and this is what they do, so you do it too. But here I really want to talk to you guys about why do we give offerings in the church. Now, let's look at the scripture again. Mark 12, 41 through 44. It says, Jesus sat down near the collection box. And now this is funny. Of all the places to sit, why does he sit near the collection box? Jesus, Son of God. And it says he sat down near the collection box in the temple, okay, and watched. Meditate on it for a moment. He watched. Now, we don't have a collection box, per se, here. You know, most again. In fact, everybody who has a phone, pull out your phone, right? Just pull your phone up for a moment. Just pull out your phone for a moment. If you got your cell phone, just hold it for a second, yeah, or your device. Okay. Man, that's my device, Pastor. It's not my phone. It's a multi-tool. Okay, are you electronic? Highfalutin people. Now, in our service, and I think it's like 60-some% or so, I forgot, they told me 60 or 70% of people, you give electronically. So in later on in the service and moving forward or whenever you do it, because some people do it outside of service, when you text, what is it, 77977, text New Day Corona, and you put in an amount, just think about Jesus looking over your shoulder. What numbers you going to hit? Let me see. Now, he knows what's in your bank account. He's watching. And I want you to understand. Now, one advantage I have growing up as a pastor's son, you know, growing up in a household, you hear the behind-the-scenes stuff. Mom and Dad, after service, they be talking. And I was in the backseat going home sometimes listening. I didn't have a Game Boy or some electronic stuff, so you just sit. You know, I grew up old school. You just sit. I don't even think we wore seatbelts. That's how long ago it was for me, okay? Wasn't the law. And you would hear things. And over the course of time, I recognized people don't understand. People would come and put money on the floor, and then I've seen people walk on it, and like everywhere my foot treads upon, God has already given me, and we take scriptures and we mix them and all that. Let's just stick to the word for a moment, okay? Want us to understand, he says, Jesus, 41, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. He's watching. Many rich people, how many? Many. I love it. Rich people going to church, hallelujah. Many rich people put in large amounts. Verse 42, then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Now, 43 really gets me. This is really what rocks me. It says here, Jesus called his disciples to him. And I can imagine that. Peter, James, John, you guys, fellas, chop, chop, come here. That's Pastor Tony's version. You know, when we take these missions trips, you know, one of the things I teach the team, and it's been a few years because I haven't led a team in a while, but during our training, we train about 6 months before we go and a training, and we have this thing we do called One Team, One Voice, okay? So sometimes we're scattered doing some kind of outreach, and all of a sudden they hear me go, one team! See, they knew what to do. They've been on a trip with me. I can imagine Jesus doing the same thing. One team! Then everybody came together. I don't know if that's how he did it. Okay, but anyway. He called his disciples to him. This was a teachable moment. I've done that too. I have those times when it's a teachable moment. Your beautiful children spent Friday with me. Kingston is 9, right? And Champ is 7. Okay, so I got a 9 and 7-year-old. Pray for me. Okay. I knew the job was dangerous when I signed up for it, though. Okay. No, I'm teasing. But what happened is we were trying to get to the movies, but it was just too much traffic. We couldn't. The 15, it was crazy. We were going to go see Star Wars. And so I said, we got to do something else. And we were trying to debate, you know, and they, of course, they couldn't agree on nothing. But here's what gets funny. All of a sudden, Kingston, the oldest one, says, Baba, we didn't make it to your house for Christmas because we were sick. I'm like, I know. He said, are our gifts still there? So I said, oh, you want your gifts, huh? He said, yeah, yeah. And Champion said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he Champion's in the back in the booster seat. And I said, oh, so what'd you guys get me? Got quiet for about 30 seconds. But Kingston, was kind of dumbfounded, but Champion's like, we didn't get you nothing. No shame in this game, just nothing. And I said, why didn't you? I don't know. That's the young one. He don't know. Now, Champion, now Kingston, the oldest, is like, he couldn't come up with an answer. Then Champion said, that's because, you know what, Bobby, because we little, you're big. But right then, we had a teachable moment. And we talked about sowing and reaping. So you hang out with me, you're going to get some biblical principles, okay? But it was a beautiful thing because then we went on and got something to eat, and we kept talking about being grateful, and I showed them some pictures of kids in Africa that didn't have nothing or shoes. I showed them pictures of the water wells that we did, and I showed them pictures of the orphans in Thailand. You know, we bought them the hats and the shoes, and I was just showing them some things. I just happened to have my iPad. And at the end, they sat there. They got quiet right after that, and I said, I think it's a good time to pray, you guys. And I said, Champion, why don't you pray? Okay. And he bowed his little head and said, God, I thank you for helping me and my brother learn to be grateful. I thank you. And he just went on. It was a teachable moment. Give Tim and Mandy a hand for their wonderful kids. Amen. So verse 43 again, Jesus called his disciples to him. It was a teachable moment. Jesus was so impressed, he said, come here, guys. And he says, watch this. He said, I'll tell you the truth. Watch this poor widow. Not only was she poor, she was a widow. Not only was she a widow, she was poor. And using that situation, that culture, that's no hope. They don't have welfare like we do. Has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor she is, has given everything she had to live on. So when you look at this situation here, they were in the temple. So what is the purpose of their giving? Why were the rich people giving? Why was she giving? One thing that we have to understand, the purpose of your giving here is for ministry maintenance. It's just to maintain the ministry. And most of your tithes and offerings and such, it's just to keep the shop open. You guys that are business owners, you understand. Say our bills to pay. We can't call Southern California Edison and we're holy and spirit filled and we can't. They like, we don't care. You want some electricity? You want some power on? And if you guys came into church and the power wasn't on, you'd be like, what kind of church is this? You would wonder. One of our goals is eventually purchase this building and make it our own. As soon as we do that, I'm gonna change the chairs and the colors and paint some stuff. I got some ideas, y'all. And we want to do those things. Ministry maintenance is important. You think about it, we pay taxes to the government. We don't question that. And then we get a pothole. It's like somebody needs to come and fix this. We understand government money, our taxes, goes for our infrastructure. It's the same thing with the things of God. And what do you say? And I know we have people that don't want to pay taxes. Be the first one to call the cops. Or don't let your house be on fire. Who do you think pays the firemen? And the word of God says, Jesus said, render or give unto Caesar, which is, the government was theirs, and give unto God what is his. And that's what we mess up. We think everything is for us. There are some things you need to pay your taxes. You do. I love our government. I do. He said, all that's going on. I've been to some other countries. The beautiful thing about us, we can say what we feel. You can get on Facebook and blast the president. I've seen people blast President Trump. I've seen people blast President Obama. Try that in some other countries. You'll get blasted. Told you about my friend in Zimbabwe. He wouldn't, before the regime changed just recently, he wouldn't even go on Facebook. They're watching me. We live in an amazing country. The other thing about your giving, it helps take care of the Levites. Who are the Levites? Remember in the Old Testament, a group of people, the 12 tribes, okay? And they were going to occupy the promised land. And God told the people from Levi, who was the forefather, that you guys are not going to work. You guys are not going to get any land. Everybody's going to take what they produce and come and give to you. Your job is to minister. Your job is to represent the people before me and me before the people. You're not to do any work. So therefore, me and others that are on staff here, we like to eat too. Surprise, surprise. We like going to dinner too. My wife told me last night, this morning, before, you know, she's in children's right now. She's working out. She says, you know, we haven't had date night in 2 weeks now. Sister Jackie likes date night. And that whole, I'm the pastor, that don't fly with her. Y'all all impressed. She's not. She said, no, she don't, I don't care how many scriptures you know. You better take me out. Real talk. Now, she don't say it like that, but, you know, and I don't want her to get to the point she's saying it like that. Another thing, too, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto God what is God's. And that's New Testament for you guys that think tithing went out with Old Testament. Jesus said that. Given to God what is his. So what is God's? And here's the other thing, too. What is God is holy. See, ain't gonna mess with nothing that's holy. When I was a little boy, we didn't even go in. You remember in the pulpit? I don't know if y'all grew up on them churches. We couldn't. It was only the pastors went up there. We had a little mic and a little stand right here for the rest of us. And the little boy, no choke. Okay, we wouldn't. That was holy. Now, that's a little over the top. You know, I was talking with a guy. I was at a board meeting Thursday night, for the Nehemiah Project for foster kids in L.A. And one of the guys, he actually runs the whole Port Authority in Long Beach, and he oversees all the software and all that. Really brilliant guy. And he said he grew up Catholic, and they had this big Bible, and nobody could touch it. Don't touch it, okay? Because it was holy. It was set apart. Well, there are parts of your income that's set apart for God. And you guys understand that concept. You do. Let me prove it to you. There's part of your income that's set apart for Visa. Wells Fargo. Your credit union, because that's how you got your car. I understand. I understand. And that part for my car payment is set aside. That Visa payment, set aside. You don't mess with that, but you mess with God's. Because you know, if you don't get Visa, what's Visa's? Rendering the Visa's, what's Visa's? What's Visa going to do to you? Uh-huh. Going to jack your interest rate up. They're going to put it on your credit and try to get some more Visa later on. You understand that? So we have to do that. But I want to show you a couple other things, too. Look, please, turn please with me to Philippians. Oh, turn your hand out over, actually. Philippians 4. I'm going to read verses 15 through 19. Now, Philippians is this. We're going to talk about ministry. That's what your money is for. It's for ministry maintenance, it's for missionaries, and it's for the poor. Let me show you biblically, okay? Philippians 4, 15 and 19. Now, this is a letter Paul wrote to a church in the city of Philippi. And the people that lived in Philippi were called Philippians, okay? Now, I like to pretend he's writing this letter to the people in Corona. I guess Coronians, if we would, okay? And verse 15, this is what he says. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me what kind of help? 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. Missionaries need financial help. They do. You were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Ooh. That jumps out to me. What does God think of those other churches? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. And no other church helped. And when he looks down, his eyes run to and fro upon the earth. Now, we have some churches that sing better than anybody. I mean, they sing the paint off the walls. They do. They dance. They shout. They get loud. They turn over chairs. The preacher gets to going. And all of a sudden, everybody just, you know, by the time he hits third gear, that's what we call shifting. You know how he starts off like I'm talking, but then it's a little bit more. And then he gets a little bit more. And before you know it, he's got his movement. He's got his cadence. He's got his grace. And he starts this. And I'm okay with that because I like me some good preaching every now and then, too. I'm from Louisiana, okay? And I get up and I start clapping. That's okay. But at the end of the day, he's looking down. How are you handling your money, church? Pastor's anniversary? I'm cool. Honor God. Honor the man of God. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But what about the people out there doing the work? Let's keep reading. Verse 16. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help more than once. So see, here at New Day, we make it a monthly thing. I think we have 14 missionaries we send money to every month, every month, every month, every month, every month. And since that's the first thing we did as a church was send money to a missionary. First thing we did. There have been times when we didn't raise enough money to meet all of our budgets. And I'm not bragging, but I want you to understand. I want you to hear my heart right now, okay? I'm not trying to impress you. But when the finance team say, Pastor, we don't have enough money, I don't get paid. And several times this happened. But our missionaries have never missed a payment. Never. Read this here. Verse 17, I don't say this, is Paul as a missionary. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Talking about the money, okay? Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. I love Paul's heart. 18, at the moment I have all I need and more. So it's okay to be a blessing, go above and beyond. People come in a new day and speak and share. I want to bless them. I want them to have all we need and more. Why not? Why not? I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. Watch this. Now, this is what I want to talk about, but it gets God's attention. Watch this. They are a sweet. Your offerings to missionaries are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. That's how he looks at that. That's how he looks at it. So when we have like Prince Parker here, and I challenge some of you guys, hey, you can give directly to him. That's a sweet-smelling sacrifice. That's the word of God says. We look at verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me. Wait, who's taking care of Paul? God. But how does he do it? Through the hands of others. Watch this. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. That's what gets his attention. He will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. He will supply all your needs. He will supply all your needs. Now, many times I've heard this, especially when we went through that naming and claiming stage and we and blessed it and confessed it. I mean, I remember that. It was like, my God comes to supply all my needs. And you haven't sown, and we say in Louisiana, nan cent. And I ain't mad at nobody. I used to do the same thing. I'm telling you, my Bible was highlighted with every prosperity passage that was. I was so sick and tired of being broke. I was. I'm like, oh, no, I know them all. And I will go all the prosperity passages. I will watch. I'm telling you. But all of a sudden, I had to check my heart. Tony, what missionary are you sowing into to stand on that promise? What missionary? And so we as a church, I just decided as a church, and I'm going to tell you something else about this church. Percentage-wise, we give more to missions than any other church in Corona. Percentage-wise. Because of this. That's not a scathing indictment against anybody else. It's just word of God, okay? At the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. We're going to close with this one. And again, this is a year of understanding. I want you to understand why we receive the offers and what the purpose of it is. God loves a cheerful giver. And it's kind of easier to be cheerful about something when you understand it. You know, when Jack and I come to church on Sunday mornings, by my house is a school. I can't think of the school right now. I think it's Wilson Elementary or something. And they have a big field. And a lot of guys from India and Pakistan, they're out there every Sunday morning playing cricket. And I see him hit the ball doing something. It's like, I can't even cheer for that because I don't understand the game. I don't even know when to cheer. See, it's kind of hard to cheer when you don't understand something. So it's kind of hard to be a cheerful giver when you don't know what I'm giving. What is all this about? I don't know. Why y'all want me to be happy? But when you understand that we're creating a space for people to come and connect with God, we have creating a space for people to come and get free, having creating a space for people to come and get their breakthrough, to grow in the things of God, to experience God, to become a better parent, a better husband. And a lot of you wives out there, you want your husbands to be better. I get that. And there are a lot of wives outside of here that want their husbands to be better. In our particular community, we really don't have a drug problem here. I mean, there are people that smoke weed and drink. They exist. And usually what we do, we send them to Crossroads, the big church up here. They got this program called, Celebrate Recovery. Okay, yeah. Well, Pastor, why don't you guys have Celebrate Recovery? Because there's only about three people that struggle with that. Anyway, it's easy to send him over there. Hallelujah. Bless God. Seriously, I partner with churches, okay? Well, what if they go over there and they stay? Then that's where they belong. Hallelujah. Okay, whatever. As long as they get free. That's what's exciting to me, okay? That's what's important. But my point is that we got to look at our community and what is the challenges that we have here. And for a lot of us, it's marriage, parenting, and finances. Those are the three areas we struggle in. And many people moved out here because, you know, wanted to experience the American dream. You got that big house. I was in North Long Beach yesterday for a funeral, and had to walk, you know, from where I parked to the church. A lot of small houses right on top of each other. Come out here, everybody got a nice house, big backyard, and you had your party when you got the house. Look what the Lord has done. Y'all celebrating and housewarmings, and then all of a sudden the economy hit, and what was a dream became a nightmare. How do you manage that? How do you handle that? Love your husband, all of a sudden finances get tight, and guess what? You ever notice that's when you're most irritable? I'll leave that alone. Acts 10. Here we go. Now, this is after Jesus had gone to heaven, okay? This is about 10 years afterwards, okay? Now, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. So he was a non-Jew, okay? But watch this, verse 2. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. Now, the definition of a devout, God-fearing man, watch this. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. He gave how? Generously. To who? The poor. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, watch this. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Because we know to pray. Oh, I got to go pray about it. I got to seek God. I need direction. I need clarity of purpose. You know how to get holy. You know how to beseech him, dear Father God. God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God of Israel. We can get so holy when we pray. And that's cool. We understand. We got to pray. Okay. And Jesus said, you know, man is always pray and faint not. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Jesus said, pray in this manner, our Father which art in heaven. So prayer is important. But now on the same term, the same level, are your gifts to the poor. So last night, and I'm getting ahead of myself, I need to talk to the finance team first, but y'all can get a call from me tonight. There's a a church, a missions, a guy and his family in the Philippines. And so he and I have been talking the last few months, you know, and I need, you know, because they need some help, they need some support. And so I've just been talking and praying anyway, a little behind the scenes thing going on. And so so what he's looking for, he said, to pay his rent where he lives, because, you know, everything is 4,000, whatever it is in Filipino dollars, 4,000 something. What is it? Pesos, but it's spelled P-I-S-O. It's not the P-E like Mexico and Argentina, somebody. Okay, say it again for me, Gina. Pesos? Okay, cool. P-E? It is? Oh. They misspelled it on that currency exchange. So what I did when he told me he needed $4,000 a month, I'm like, okay. You know, he's talking, I'm Googling. It came to $78 a month, would pay his rent and his utilities, and he would have enough left over for 1 month of youth, the snacks for the youth at the church, for $100. $100. That will free him up so he can do more ministry. $100 from us. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. My gifts to the poor. My gifts to the poor. We've helped with orphans. My gifts to the poor. My gifts to the poor. So that's the purpose of your giving. That's why we receive offerings. Because we're blessed to be a blessing. Why behind the what? Giving of tithes and offerings, three things happens. Ministry maintenance, we can maintain here. We need to maintain our house. We do. We need to take care of our house. We need to take care of it. You guys understand that? This is God's temple. This is where we come together. There are people that we haven't met yet that are going to come here and get breakthroughs, get free. So we need to create a space for them. So your giving will help that make that happen for another man. You say, well, Pastor Tony, I've just been coming here and nothing's happened to me. Sorry, but you can still give to help somebody else. Hopefully you will get something. But actually, it is about others. Two, you're giving. The why behind the what. Why do we give? for missionaries to advance the kingdom. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples of men. And many are not going to do that, but can we get behind those that are? Is that fair enough? Can we do that? And God will look down and we won't be like the churches that don't. And then the poor. The poor is important. The poor. Think about the times when you wish you had somebody to give you a breakthrough. Somebody just come and help you. You know what God did? God gave his word to us. Then he gave his son. Then when his son went to heaven, he gave his Holy Spirit. God is always giving. He's always looking out for us. We have to learn to look out for others. And one of the things I want more than anything is God's presence in my life. I want him to be right here next to me. And I want him to be pleased with me. So when he's looking down, I want to get his attention. And I'm going to tell you something. I got that personality style where I'm just kind of indifferent. Like, I'm more, you know, I kind of tend to be more by myself. Some of you guys more people persons. You out there and outgoing and all that. You like attention and all that. I'm just wired a little differently. But I tell you what, there is somebody whose attention I do want. And it's his. I want his attention. Amen. I want him to look down. And the same thing he said to Jesus. It's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And I want him to see the same with you guys. Amen. So you render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And give unto God what is God's. Amen? Amen? Bow your heads, please. Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you put on my heart to make this the year of understanding, Lord.